Hi, girls. Sherilyn and all of the other team members know that I'm really nervous because I'm a talker, but I'm not a public speaker. So just do your best to laugh where you're supposed to and things like that, and it'll be easier for me because it's all about me. I'm going to probably do some reading from my notes tonight because I do want to stay on track. And even though I'm an organizer, I was telling my friend Kathy Ponce tonight that my thoughts aren't always organized. I tend to go off on lots of tangents, and that probably wouldn't be good tonight. So please pardon me for reading some of my notes, but it'll help me in the long run. As Sherilyn told you, my husband and I have been here for 18 years. I tell you that I've known Sherilyn for many years, but JT works for Coach Paterno, and so we've had many, many fun years here and have made so many friends at Calvary. We have three kids, and also my sister-in-law and her son live with us, so we have a house of seven, and I'm the only one who's organized. Please pray for me. I want to start out by saying we Americans love our stuff, don't we? We love our stuff. Who was the comedian all those years ago that did a thing about stuff? George Carlin or somebody? It's probably not very appropriate for children, but he's so right about what he says about how we keep our stuff and we hold it and we love it and we cherish it. But we really have become a consumptive society, and we can't seem to curb our need and our desire for stuff. Unfortunately, I think we're training our children just as we've been socialized and trained and conned into thinking that we need the biggest and the best and the latest and the greatest. And I think that some of us, and definitely many of our children, are becoming entitled. There's an entitlement that a lot of kids feel these days because of our own materialism. And it's a sad thing that we're doing to our children. We're not honoring them or preparing them, I don't feel, for life on the outside, as I call it. I think as parents, we have a duty to love and nurture our children. And unfortunately, I think that's where some people stop. You know, their idea of loving and nurturing is giving them the latest toy, the best gadget, the most gigabytes, the whatever. But that's not preparing them for life on the outside. Because when they leave our homes, there's a whole slew of information that we haven't given them by letting them feel they're entitled to all of these things. They're not going to take any of it with them when they go, and neither are we. So why even start them out that early? One of our solutions seems to be that we'll just buy more bins and we'll put them in the attic, right? Or we could go get some shelves and we'll put those in the garage. Or we'll build a shed. Or we'll buy a bigger house. Let's go buy a bigger house. I've said that to JT many times. So why didn't we just buy a bigger house? And we don't have that much stuff. We just have a lot of people. Maybe that's our problem. The solutions really are endless. And there are websites and sections in stores and whole stores that are devoted to organization. You would think it would be a great situation for me in my business that everybody has all this stuff and they need to get rid of it. But I think it's a sad state that we're in. It's sad that people think that the total worth, the total sum of their lives is wrapped up in what they own. My thinking is that the reality is they don't own their possessions own them. And our stuff is squeezing the life out of us. and it's stressing us out, especially we moms, because we're the ones who have to deal with it more than anybody else. I'm ecstatic that the Lord guided me to this profession. How many of you knew that there was such a thing as professional organizers? Thank goodness for Mission Organization and Clean Sweep and all those shows, because it's becoming more known now. When I started, not very many people even knew there was such a thing or that you could make a living doing it. I feel like I was led to this. Some of the things that Sherilyn just said really touched me and made me realize, and I've realized before, but it's just reinforced that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I pretty much asked permission to do what I'm doing. I was doing childcare for many years, and I don't know what I was thinking. Because my home became not my home, and I love children. I have three of my own, and I had at times six others in my house. My little house had six other little ones running around, and I love them. But when it became more important to me to clean up and make my house than to sit down and read them a book, I knew it was time to let go. And God had been talking to me and speaking to my heart for 2 years, saying, you don't love this, you don't love this, you love the kids, but you don't love this, you don't love this profession. And I didn't listen because I was scared to start something new. And I was speaking with a friend of ours who is a pastor in another part of the state, and he simply said to me, Kelly, God gives us desires and strengths in certain areas so that we can honor him with those strengths and those interests and those passions. And if we don't use those, how are we honoring him? Because he gave it to us for a reason. It's not a coincidence that you like to do what you like to do. So I hope that everybody keeps that in mind. If you love being a mother, that's what you're here to do. If you love being a nurse, if you, whatever it is. But he gave us all something, and mine just happens to be organizing, which seems odd to some people. And I've said it's a sickness, and it is, but it's a good one. As Christians, I think that we want to be good stewards of our money. Sometimes organization can be about money. And I've said to some of my clients, if you take the square footage of your home and you think about your mortgage payment or your rent payment, and you think about how much stuff you have in storage in your home, is your garage packed? You can't park in the garage. Is your basement packed? Can you walk into the basement? Your mortgage is going to pay for that storage. And so much of it is stuff that you don't even remember you have. Or you forgot, or you haven't used it in 3, 4, 15 years. So why? Why keep that stuff? Because it's taking up space. You're using your money to pay for storage. And then, unfortunately, some people go so far as to rent a storage unit. Sad. Very sad. There's no reason to have a storage unit unless you have parents who recently deceased and you need to store their things, or you're moving and you need to, stage your house and get rid of the extra stuff that you don't need to stage the house. But there really is not a practical reason that I can think of other than those to have a storage unit. So don't waste your money. I do want to do questions and answers with everybody a little bit later on. But we're going to take a look at some definitions. And I'm so glad, Sherilyn, that you did the definition of peace, because I was going to do that and you did a much better job. So, but I do have the definition of clutter. And Webster has two different definitions of clutter. There's a noun and a verb. And the verb is to fill or cover with scattered or disordered things that impede movement or reduce effectiveness. The noun is a crowded or confused mass or collection. And I've seen a lot of both of those. And if you have children, they take care of the verb all by themselves. There are several symptoms of clutter, and you can have one or you can have all or anything in between. But you know yourself well enough to know if you're stressing out because there's clutter in the house. So let's name some of the symptoms, and Matt's going to put them up as a little after we do them, but can you guys tell me what some symptoms of clutter might be? Running late. You can't find things. Anxiety. Yes. Depression. Oh, that's a good one. Embarrassment. Because you're embarrassed, right? Right. Apologizing, she said. Anything else? The first one I have is visual chaos. It is very, even in classrooms, to walk in and see stuff everywhere. You don't know where to look. And when it's not your space, it's easy to see that. But when it's your own space, you don't see it. So the visual stuff is just too much for me. And I think for a lot of people, and children are very sensitive to visual clutter. The second symptom is there's no floor space or clear surfaces. Lost items. Somebody mentioned that. Wasted time looking for things. If you can't find something, if you look for something that's lost 5 minutes every day, you're looking for something that you can't find, that's 30 hours a year. Anxiety, somebody said that, which would include sleeplessness, agitation, restlessness. I know a lot of times when my house is turned upside down, I cannot sleep. I wake up at 3 a.m. thinking of everything I need to do when I get up. So then I don't go back to sleep. Symptom number 6 could be late payments. If you can't find a bill, you pay things late, and then you have late fees on top of that. Dirt. Overstimulation for kids. I said kids are very sensitive to clutter. They can become very overstimulated, which is frustrating for everybody involved, including the kids. And strained relationships. I've worked with many couples who are fighting about, she doesn't clean the house, and he won't pick up his this and that, and we can't get in the garage, and I want to park my car, so this, you know, it's hard to go through that as a couple. Some questions I've heard, and some of you may have thought yourself, are, why is this space always so messy? Why can't the kids just pick up the toys? Why can't I find my keys? Why didn't I get my taxes filed on time? That's coming up, by the way, just so you know. Why are the kids cranky today? Why am I cranky today? If you have clutter, you obviously have an indifference to it for some reason. And I'm not really one to tell you the reason that may be for a counselor or a psychologist. But there is a reason that you're indifferent to it. And you maybe need to wake up and find out what that reason is or those reasons are. Because if it's causing strained relationships, you need to take care of it. How does the clutter get out of control? I think there are two culprits. I think we have too many accumulations. What are some of the things that we tend to accumulate? Can you guys throw out some things? Yes. Kids' papers, magazines, paper, junk mail. Yep. We do accumulate good mail too. Yeah. Toys. What's that? Bags. Yes, I've worked with a lot of people who collect bags. Crafts. Yes. Clothing. Shoes. Girls love their shoes. On my list, I have necessities, which could be clothing, shoes, good mail, gifts. Gifts can be a big problem, especially from grandma and grandpa sometimes. Regifting. Yeah. Additional purchases that you make yourself. Things you buy yourself that you don't necessarily need. Sentimental items. Knickknacks. Paper. Somebody said paper. And just trash. Just plain old trash. We sometimes can't even throw out trash. And the other culprit for why it gets out of control or how it gets out of control is we don't have enough eliminations or systems in place to take care of it. We may not know where to start. You know, I have a saying where I tell people, you know, this room looks like you use the step and toss method. You don't know what to do with something, so you open the door and you step in and then you close the door. It's the step and toss. Well, you don't know what to do with that stuff. You walk in and you go, what do I do? Where do I start? Some people say, I don't have time. I don't have time. I may need it someday. I call this just in case syndrome. But what if I can use that to create a sculpture? It's important. This is usually said with paper things. It's important. I need it. It costs a lot of money. It's very valuable. It costs a lot of money. And there's a difference. It was a gift. Some of this is hitting you, isn't it, Melinda? And oblivion. Some of us are oblivious to our clutter. Like I said, when you walk into your own home time after time after time, you don't see it anymore. So maybe you need to ask a friend or somebody that's, you know, kind of soft, but will still tell you the truth. I have a note here. I've worked with so many people when we're going through their stuff, and they'll come up on something and they'll say, I don't know how that got there. I don't know how that got there. I've been looking for this. Why do we allow the clutter to get out of control? Because it's too overwhelming to deal with. If it wasn't overwhelming, we'd do it just like that, wouldn't we? It's mentally overwhelming because it's too much for one person sometimes. I can't do it by myself. I need help. And honestly, a lot of people can't let go of some of their things on their own. They need that kick in the butt from somebody else who's not attached to their stuff. That you need a friend, you need a family member, or me, or, you know, whoever who's not attached to your stuff emotionally. Physically, it's overwhelming. When you start in on a big project, it's long hours. Those shows are wonderful, girls, but it takes more than half an hour. It takes days, and it's hard work, and your back hurts, and there's heavy lifting, and you're exhausted at night, and it's all worth it. And it's emotionally draining. Those sentimental things that we just can't get rid of. Grandma's china, which I just removed from my china cabinet, by the way. And I'm getting rid of it. Because I never ate Thanksgiving dinner on that china. If you do, don't get rid of it. If you have those memories and you use it, don't. But we didn't. I don't remember my grandmother using it. But I had it in my china cabinet. So I took it out. It's not worth it. I need the space for things that I use. My house is tiny. Have I said that? My house is tiny. And we have a lot of people. Did I say that too? Oh, I think that we would all like to believe our disorganization is just a spatial issue. You know, it's not that I have too much stuff. It's just not arranged properly. I just need another shelf. I just need some more bins. Here's the reality of that. It doesn't matter how you box it, how you bag it, how you stack it, how you store it. If you've got clutter, it's still clutter. No matter what you do with it, unless you get rid of it, it's still clutter. It's still taking up space that you need to live in your home. Even if it's storage space. We have storage space for a reason, and we do need to store things. But we don't need so much stuff that we can't get another thing in there, that we can't walk into the garage, or that we can't open the attic stairs. That's too much. What we all need to do is take a hard look at ourselves inside. I think that so much of ourselves is revealed in our spaces, especially our home spaces, sometimes our car spaces. On the surface where we spend our time, it can just look cluttered and disorganized. But I think what we don't realize is that it can be a direct reflection of what we're feeling inside, whether we're peaceful inside or whether there's turmoil inside. And it all shows in our house. I think that clutter makes a noise. I read a quote somewhere. It says, clutter makes a noise. I love the quiet sound of a house that has just been cleaned. Isn't that nice? I do have a couple of quotes here. One was about an elementary school. I did a daycare conference a couple of years ago, and so I did some research on clutter in the classroom, and I thought that it would apply to everybody, well, not everybody, but a lot of us today, because most of us do have children. And it says, does the visual clutter in the typical elementary classroom create stress and reduce student performance? A professor at North Carolina State University told a number of workshops he conducted with educators where he had persuaded them to remove 90% of the clutter from their classrooms and observed what happens. The result, the atmosphere is much calmer and student behavior improves markedly. So kids are very sensitive to all the stuff that they see. We think it's educational, and it is, but it's also clutter. Decluttering your space satisfies the need for order, reduces tension and anxiety, promotes clarity, and motivates. It's much easier to motivate yourself to work in a well-organized, clutter-free environment. I also found, I was going to get my Bible, but I have it, a Bible verse that really hit me. Proverbs 17:1. It says, better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. And I really thought about kids a lot when I read that. Because how many of us, I think all of us, get our kids everything, all of the toys everywhere, and they have a feast of toys, don't they? And sometimes as parents we say, but it's educational. They're going to learn so much with that. Kids learn no matter what. They don't need all the stuff. They don't need all the educational toys. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying they don't need so much of them. They make their own fun with boxes and pots and pans and wooden spoons and dirt. Some of my most favorite memories when I was little are sitting in the dirt and playing for hours because it felt like flour in my hand. It was so soft and warm, and I would sit there for hours. I didn't need all the toys. And what they crave more than anything is you. And I know we're all so full of, I got to do this and this and this and this. But they need you. They want you. The time that they spend with you, they will remember way more than they will ever remember Barbie or how many clothes she had or the dump truck that he broke after 3 days. I think that verse, a house full of feasting, could create the strife. If your kids have a feast, or if you have a feast with all the, I mean, how many of our husbands have the gadgets and the electronics and the, you know, all of that stuff? They sit and they do that. And the kids do that. And it creates strife. We don't need all of that. We need each other, and we need to focus on what's important, and it's our families. Visual clutter. I want to just go over that. You need to make a decision to declutter your house or, your office or whatever it is you feel like is giving you strife. Where do you start? Where would you guys start? If you want to declutter a space, and I don't necessarily need specific rooms, but you can give me specific rooms. Where do you start? Anywhere. That's what I was going to say. You weren't supposed to say that yet. No, that's right. Start somewhere. And the somewhere could be, there are different theories on it. I think you can start where you have the biggest headache. If your kitchen stresses you out more than any other room in the house, start in the kitchen. Or you can start where you're going to see some immediate success, a drawer. Do your junk drawer. Do your purse. Geraldine mentioned doing your purse. I was going to have you guys all do that before we started. Just dump everything out and organize. I mean, when's the last time you organized your purse? A week? Oh. So start somewhere, whether it's a small drawer, and you can set a timer, girl. Set a timer. You don't have to go for days and days and days and organize. You can set a timer and start for 15 minutes and say, I'm going to do this for 15 minutes, and then I'm done for the day. And then maybe tomorrow I'll do another 15. Small chunks is easy, but if you got the energy, go for it. You know, if the kids are taken care of or you don't have other appointments and you can hit it hard, that might feel good too. When you do that, when you start, the very first thing you should envision is how you want your space to look and feel and function. And functionality is huge. I am not one who says a place for everything and everything in its place. I don't think that's realistic at all. I think everything should have a place, but I don't think it needs to stay there all the time. And I don't think it's realistic for any of us to think that it would stay there all the time. It's going to get out. But if everything has a place, when it's time to clean up, it's quick. It's really quick. So when you start, keep that picture in your mind. Because if you can't remember how you want your home to feel when you're all done, you're never going to get it done. That has to be forefront in your brain. How do I want this space to feel for me? How do I want it to function for my kids? And how do I want my guests to feel when they walk in? To get started, you're going to need some tools. And this may seem self-explanatory or just logical, but some people really don't know. When you start to organize, you need either some laundry baskets or bags or bins if you have the big tubs, trash bags for trash, and bags for donations or things to give away. You need to start by sorting. And if you walk into a room and you don't know where to start, you start somewhere. Just pick a corner and go at it. I like to start with the floor because I'm a floor girl. If I can't move around, I'm really cranky. And I tell my kids all the time, the floor is for feet and furniture and nothing else. So it's up to me to decide what's considered feet and furniture, but that takes care of most of it. You need to start by sorting. Sort things that you want to keep in a pile. Throw other things that are just plain old trash in the trash. If it's clothing and it's stained or torn, it's trash. Please don't give those things to Goodwill or the thrift store, because what do they do with it when they see it? So we're just adding to their job. If you wouldn't walk into that thrift store or Goodwill and buy it, don't give it to them to sort. That's your job. Keep, trash, donate. Simple. Oh, in the trash part, I said stained and all that. Toys, a lot of places won't take toys now. So we're kind of up a creek there. But if you, yes. Really? Oh, wow. It's Easter. Go get busy cleaning out the toys. Oh, that's good. That's good information. So that's right after. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Some daycares will take them, but if you just want to get rid of it quickly, which, you know, time is of the essence. Time is worth something. If you have time to seek those places out, that's wonderful, because you know it's going to be put to good use. If you just need to get rid of it quickly, there aren't too many places that you can do that now. But you can do FreeCycle. Do you guys know about FreeCycle? And I heard about another. Oh, you can also try to sell it in the paper. You know, you can put things under $99 in the paper for free, and they'll run the ad for, I don't know, so many days. And I've sold a lot of things that way. The big little tight sandboxes and things like that, people snatch those up really quick. So you can make some extra cash doing that as well. If you have toys or games that have missing pieces, I mean, if it's a car, you can donate it. But don't donate games that have missing pieces or puzzles that have missing pieces. Just throw them away. If you have craft materials that you want to go through, because as our kids get older, we don't do arts and crafts so much anymore. But if you have a lot of those kinds of materials that you're not using anymore, if you haven't used it in 2 years, you need to make space. Maybe, you know, if the church would need it, or a daycare, or, you know, there may be somebody else that needs it. But if it's that long, the markers may be dry, the glue may be dry. You know, go through that stuff and really deal with it. And 2 years is long enough to have any of that kind of material. When you donate, it's a great idea to get a receipt. I think they really love for you to itemize everything if you have a lot of things. And you would be surprised how much you can accumulate in clothing. Have any of you gone on to online to see how much you can get for like a sweater? Or have you ever done that? Isn't it amazing? Like for a man's sweater, you can count, I think, $7 or $8 for a sweater. Well, if you're donating 20 sweaters, that's a good chunk of change to put onto your taxes that you donated. So it's a good idea if you're doing a lot of that. So the first thing is you sort, then you need to purge. Okay? Reduce and purge. Trash, donations, and sell items. If you want to have a yard sale, that's great. I love yard sales. So if you have the time to do that, you can make some extra cash doing that too. And it's a weekend out of your life. No big deal. With trash, for electronics and metal, do you guys know that you can take it to the transfer station for free? So if you have old computers, electronic radios, cell phone, you know, any of that stuff, you can take it and drop it off for free. They won't charge you for that. And I know so many people have old computer monitors piled up in a closet, or, you know, two or three hard drives that died, and take them and get rid of them. The transfer station, I'm sorry, the dump, the center, it's just past the mall. Out by the recycling center. Do you, it's the transfer station. You're transferring it from me to them. I don't know if that's why they call it that or not. But they transfer it. And the electronics, and there's a very high percentage that they recycle. I want to say they recycle like 85% of the parts or something. So, you know, you kind of got to feel good and green about that instead of it just going into a landfill somewhere. Okay, so you sort, and then you reduce and purge, and then you reorganize everything that's left. And to do that, you need to group like items together. See, this is what I'm saying. It sounds like it's self-explanatory, like everybody should just know. But a lot of people don't just know. They have all kinds of stuff that relates to each other all over the house. So put like items together. Things that you use together, put them together. Create zones. And this is really good for kids' spaces, for garages, for offices, even for bedrooms. Storage spaces, zones are great. Kids really respond to zones. If you go in the bedroom with a kid and say, this is your sleeping zone and this is your dressing zone, it's not going to keep them from throwing clothes onto the bed, but when it's time to clean up, they know where the zones are. Containerize. I love containers, and it doesn't matter if it's bins. I use a lot of bins, but, you know, a lot of people are not into the plastic thing. Baskets, shoe boxes, whatever you have, use that first. There's no need to go and put a big investment into this project. Use what you have, and then if you need to supplement, do that. But you can use an old dresser. You know, a dresser doesn't have to be a dresser. A dresser can be for towels and linens and things like that that are not used every day. So think of other ways to use what you already have. And with kid stuff, since so many of us have kids, with artwork and school papers, that's a big deal. It's hard to deal with that stuff every day. They're coming home with something. Please don't save it all. I hear you guys laughing. I know there has to be some of that over here going on. Yeah, right. A plus. I don't agree with that either. No? Some. Not all of it. She said anything with their person, you know, like handprints and things.
It's special.
Their baby thing, yeah.
We put it up on a bulletin board, and then put, when something new comes home, something's got to come on.
Yes. It's great to save it for a while. You know, put it on the fridge, put it on the bulletin board, put it in a book or whatever. But then after, you know, a month, it's time to put something else up there and show off the new artwork. What I did personally was, if you are one of the moms who just has to save every paper they bring home from school, put it in a basket, get a big one, get a bin, get a big one. At the end of the school year, pick two things. That will be hard. It's not hard for me, but it will be for some of you. Two things. I am. She said, I'm a callous mom. No, it is hard. But choose something from the beginning of the year and one thing from the end of the year. Because you're keeping all this stuff. And if you're making a scrapbook, that's different. You can keep some of that stuff for scrapbooking. But if you're just keeping it for them to look back at and say, oh, I did this when I was in first grade and I did this, they're going to have too much. They don't want it. When they get to be 22 and they're moving out, they don't want it. But it would be so cool to see, this is how I started kindergarten and this is how I ended. That's all they need. So every year, at the end of the school year, pick two things. I have a mom who said, I have a shoebox size bin. She has three boys. And she said, I have three bins for each of them. They get one bin a year. I said, do you realize how many they're going to have when they turn 18? Every one of them's going to have 12 bins. 13 counting kindergarten, and more than that if you count preschool. They don't want it. So do them the favor of paring it down. You can choose two special things, and they will be grateful. Somebody had a question.
I think you answered it, but I have a question with saving that stuff.
Yes.
Even if it's two per year.
Yeah.
Is it for them, or is it for us?
Is it? Who? What?
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Because I did get loaded up with all my husband's stuff. Mm-hmm.
Does he ever go back and look at it? Some people do and some people don't, but most don't. So why burden them with it? It's kind of like some of us have elderly parents who are going to be passing someday, and they have a home that they've lived in for 50 years. And we're going to be left to deal with it. Don't do that to your kids with their own schoolwork. They have enough trauma from school. They don't need that. Yes?
Well, first I need to apologize to my daughter-in-law over there for giving her things that make clutter.
Really?
Yeah. They just thought, wow, I wrote this. You know,
let's hear what Colette says about that.
Well. No. Yeah, Colette doesn't like to jump in.
Well, I think when...
booty.
And that's different. They're, you know, what he came home from the hospital in. And, you know, that I have no problem with that. It's all the school papers. Paper is just too much to deal with, and there's so much of it. Just limit it. It's okay. Does somebody else have a question? Okay. So we said containerize. That's one way. And then did I say label?
No, label.
Label. If you don't have a labeler, it's the best investment. If you don't want to get a labeler, you can use tags. You can print it out on the computer and laminate. You can do so many things to label. Yes, duct tape and a marker, whatever it takes. But if you label something, you're less likely to put something else in that spot. Okay? Some people say, oh, I don't want to see the labels. Well, do you want to find your wedding ring in a pile of mismatched socks? Or, you know, what would you rather do? See the labels or not be able to find stuff? Because those are going to be your choices. So labels are great. Okay, paper management and filing. This is something that nobody likes, but you all have the green sheets on your tables. How long, I want to see if anybody knows this, how long should it take you to locate a needed document or piece of paper? Six, 60 seconds is good. I say 30 seconds. And once you get, if you have a filing system, once you get to that filing cabinet, if you can't find a piece of paper in 30 seconds, you need to work on it. Now, you may find the file and have to flip through the file, and that may take longer than 30 seconds. But generally speaking, 30 seconds is a good amount of time. Then you know you're really organized. With paper, you do the same things to get organized. You toss what you absolutely know you do not need. And those sheets will tell you what you really don't need. Sort it. If there are things that you need to do to take care of a piece of paper, if you need to act on it, act on it. Do it now. File it away if it needs to be filed, and then maintain. Maintain what you've done. Some people say you shouldn't have to touch a piece of paper more than once. Well, I don't really follow that. I think that's another irrational thought. Unless it's trash. If you know something is just trash, you should only touch it once and it's gone. And by the way, be sure to shred things that have your personal information on them. Yes.
Do you know there are shred centers now? Because I mean, I have
a lot.
A lot of stuff. That, I mean, it's in bags. It's embarrassing, but I just.
Well.
I mean, I can only tear so much by hand.
Yes. I don't know of a shredding center. There are mobile shredders, and I think I might be able to get information on a shredding service. But there's not a, that I know of, a place that you can just go and dump things, like the coin changers. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Just take your papers. But I know that the Science Park Credit Union, I think, is that Science Park? It's on Science Park. They do it once or twice a year. That's a big trailer thing, and you just put it in. And yes. Certain things, yes, yes. Like when you know, you should. It says on there, save your taxes for 7 years. Well, when you get to that 7 years ago, and you can recycle that paper, but you need to shred all that, because anything with your social on it, definitely, account numbers for credit cards and things, yeah, you need to shred it. Yes.
Okay, so we bought a shredder. It's probably the most important thing we ever invested in.
Yeah.
And not only for this, but crazily enough, for our kids' papers, when they come home from school, if they see them in the trash, they're really upset.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because they're like, you threw away my artwork, or you threw away my paper with three letters on it.
Did you guys hear what she said?
Yeah.
That's right. That's another good tip. Do it while they're sleeping. Yeah. Did everybody hear what she said? You didn't hear what she said? She said the shredder for getting rid of kids' papers. Because they see them in the trash and they say, you're going to throw away that, you know. Yeah, so if you shred it, then they don't know. See, there's your one tip for the evening. Okay. For filing... People hate to file, and I understand that. A filing cabinet really is the best way to go. I hate to say that, but it really is. Even if it's just a two-drawer filing cabinet, do one for personal items and another for either kid items or, you know, if you have a home business. You know, you may not need anything much more than that. And I like to color code things because it's easier for me. So, like, anything in a green file has to do with money. Anything in a red file has to do with health. Anything in a blue file is for a kid, you know. So it's easy for me to just go to a certain section. That's why I can do it in 30 seconds. If I need a bill, I'm only looking in the green ones. I'm not looking in a red one. So you can do that the way that it works for you. And when you're doing the little tabby things across the top, don't stagger them. Put them in a line. That's just a tip. Because it's easier to go like this than to, and then your eye comes back here. Okay? Okay. Oh, maintaining that filing system is going to be really huge. Once you get your papers under control, you have to maintain it or you're going to be right back to where you started. I have what I call a 2-inch rule. You need a paper tray or a basket or something that you put all of your papers in. I don't care if you don't file things right away. I don't file things right away. So, but give yourself the 2-inch rule. Once that stack gets to 2 inches, it's time to go through it. And you have to be brutal with yourself, and you have to be really honest about how high that stack is because you'll let it get out of control. And so then you don't want to get back to where you started, 2 inches, and then it's time to file away, or if you need to act on it, act on it. And the same with kids' papers. You can do that, too, with kids' papers. You know, you can put them all in a basket or a bin or something, but if you want to say, when this overflows this paper tray, I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to pick out one thing or whatever. You can make your own rules on that, but at least have a system. Having a system is key. And a system isn't necessarily a physical thing. A system is just a way of doing things. A system is a ritual that you get into. You know, we most all of us have that with our children. You know, what's the bedtime ritual? You eat dinner, then they get a bath, and then they get their lotion and diaper or whatever. Then you read them a book, and then they put on the music, and you lay them. You know, that's their ritual. They get used to that. Well, it's the same with organizing. You need your systems, which is your way of doing things. When you get the mail, do the same thing every day. Bring it in and deal with it immediately. Don't put it on the counter. You can look through the mail while you're answering the phone or whatever. Do it immediately. Don't let it stack up. Okay. I have some numbers and things for junk mail. You guys might know of where you can call in and have your name removed from calling lists and things like that. I think Matt's going to put those up there. But it's... they're really great. I've done every one of them. So, and I don't really get telemarketing calls every once in a blue moon. But it's really worth the time that it takes you to either call or get online and register with those. Time management is not really an expertise thing for me. I'm usually 2 minutes early or 2 minutes late. So I'm not really a good teacher on time management, but I do know some things about it. When I did daycare, I was really great at time management. I had to be. And so there are things that I did every day. And one of them was I would get up and get dressed to the shoes. And I know some people don't wear shoes in their houses, and that's fine. But I got dressed every day to my shoes because when I had kids, there was always an emergency. Every day there was something. I needed to run outside because, you know, somebody fell down the steps or whatever, I had to have my shoes on. So that saved me time. Turn off the TV. TV is on sometimes just to keep us company, but it's also a big time waster. You don't know how much time you just stand there in front of it to hear this little tidbit that they're talking about that, you know, the world moves on. If you didn't hear that, the world keeps turning. So you don't need to have the TV on during the day anyway. Have a set time for, a set time or day for certain responsibilities. I grocery shop on Mondays. Some people do it on the weekends. But if you have a certain day, it really makes the best use of your time instead of going 2, 3, 4 times a week to the grocery store, which means you have to sit down and make a list, which means you have to meal plan before that. So every Monday, this is my system that works for me. Every Monday, I don't work. I meal plan and I go grocery shopping. And that's it. And I hate to cook. So it takes me hours to meal plan. I struggle with knowing what I'm going to do for dinner every night. But I make my list. I write out what I need. I go grocery shopping the same day. I come home, put it away. And then the only thing I have to go to the store for, or usually to Meijer's during the week, is milk. I don't need anything else once a week. Some people can go shopping every 2 weeks or, you know, and just do their necessities in between that. I've got too many teenage boys at home. But if you can do that, that would be fantastic. Saves a lot of time. Use one calendar or planner. If you have a business or you, you know, you have kids, but you have your own schedule that you have to keep, put everything together in one. You can color code it, you or not, but having everything that you have to do in one day or 1 week in one place is going to save you a lot of headaches. Okay, I'm done with my spiel. I wanted to see if anybody has questions, or, you know, you can talk about specific issues you're having at home. Yes. Yes.
Do you just call one of those places, or do you get on the website for all of them?
The opt-out is either you can go to opt-out, call the 888 number, or go to online to the prescreen.com. The catalog choice is for catalogs. So that's separate. And then the donotcall.gov is a lot like the opt-out number.
Okay, my second question is, if you have a hard drive that you want to get rid of,
yes,
but there's stuff on it.
Yeah. Can you get
stuff that's on it so that somebody else might not get your
stuff? Do you know how to do that? Can you get to it, or is it dead?
Take care of my
Matt? A tip from the only man here tonight. Woohoo! Other than that, I would say you'd have to have somebody who knows what they're doing do it. And that wouldn't be me, because I don't know how to do it. Oh, I'm sorry, girls. I didn't see who had their hand raised first. Let me go to the...
Put these questions on the mic, because this is being taped. So.
Oh, sorry.
That's right.
Where do you find the prices for the donations? Because I'm constantly just making them up when I donate stuff.
You can do that. You can make up your own prices, whatever you think the worth is. Well, I found mine on a Goodwill site from Minnesota.
Okay.
So if you... No. It's pretty general. You know, whatever they're going to say a value is in Pennsylvania is not going to be any different in Minnesota. So,
okay, hold on, you guys. We got to do this. I'm sorry, I'm cutting.
could that be for a yard sale too, the sweater thing? You know, you have yard sales, you're giving everything away for 50 cents. It's like a ripoff.
I don't think so. You're going to get more money on your tax write-off than you will at a yard sale.
Okay.
But some people, you know, I want the money now, not next year when I file my taxes. So I don't really think you can place the same value on a yard sale item as you can on a donation.
Okay.
Yeah. They won't pay it. People won't pay it. And then you're going to end up donating it anyway. Right? So.
I just have a question. Follow up on that. Is there a limit on the donations? I know there's usually like a $500 limit. Is that true if you itemize them? Do you know?
If you itemize it, you can go more than that.
You can go more than that.
$500 is unitemized.
Unitemized.
Right.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Right.
Kelly, I heard you say something about not liking to cook in grocery
shops.
Well, I have a suggestion for everybody, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about it, but there's a website called relishrelish.com.
Okay.
And it's unbelievable. It'll change your life. You pick out...
Can I do it in 30 minutes
or
less?
Oh, my gosh. You pick out meals. It prints out your grocery list. It is so wonderful.
Wow.
And you save money because you don't buy produce and stuff that you don't end up using. It
right.
ends up rotting. I got so organized that I itemized everything in my freezer and
I
my
love
pantry.
You. Relish.com.
And I think you can get a free week of it just to try it out. But the shortest amount you can get is 3 months, and it's $21. But I guarantee you, you save more than $7 a week by the food you waste.
I know there's also a site called eMenu.com, and it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
A friend of mine told me about it, and you can it gives you menus, and it prints out your shopping list, and you can put in whether you shop at Walmart or Giant, and it kind of gives you a roundabout number that you will probably spend without all your staples. Like if you have to get toilet paper and detergent and all that stuff, it's not going to be in there. But just for your meals for that week, it gives you a roundabout total, which is
and there's
kid-friendly
meals, there's crock-pot meals. Mm. I mean, it's check it out. It's wonderful.
I'll do that. Yes. Sherilyn over here.
Just another quick note on Penn State Salvage. They have really good deals on filing cabinets, and we got like a 4-1 for like $20 or something.
Yeah, they're
something
cheap.
Ridiculous.
Yeah,
that
and they're heavy.
Yeah, and they're good quality and
yes.
not dinged up.
And desks, too, if you need a desk or something.
Yeah, I know a friend that just got a desk for $20.
Big desk.
You can also check out the Restore
Salvage.
For some things like that. Have you heard of Restore? No, it's in Bellefonte. Yeah, just down from Pizza Hut and on the left there. They have some cool stuff. You know, you can buy it and fix it up. And I did that. My whole office is made from Restore stuff, and it's really cute and wonderful. Yes.
You said at the beginning that you are the only organized one of 7 people in your home. So can you address how you handle that when you live? Because I know maybe some of you were thinking, I wasn't, but that you wish your husband were here. Can you address that?
Yes. Sometimes I don't deal with it very well, unfortunately. I pray a lot, but... honestly, I have to take a step back and not be anal about things. I work with a girl who is single and does not have children, and she has 2 dogs, and she says, I'm an anal retentive neat freak. Well, I can't be that. That doesn't work for my life. If I were that, I would be Margaret, right? Is that the story? Was it Martha? Martha? I'm sorry. I don't want to be that, but I have a tendency to be. So I had to take a step back and really chill out about my house. So we have an open door policy, so people just stop by without calling, and that's fine with me, but they also have the understanding that they may walk into a tornado, and that just kills me. When people stop by and my house is a mess, but we live in our house. And yes, my house is organized, but But to me, organized does not mean everything in its place at all times. If you open my closets, everything is folded, everything is in place. If you open my kitchen drawers, I have dividers. There, I have a junk drawer, but it's got a divider in it and little cubbies, and I have rubber bands in one and paper clips in another, and, you know. So, yes, I do have the things that everybody has, but my house is organized, but it doesn't stay that way. I have children and a dog and a cat and a husband and in-laws that live with me. So we manage, and it's not always easy.
Yeah, and if I could kind of answer my own question, because it is something we've worked on hard at our house, but two things that have worked well in my home, because a lack of organization can really drain me of life. Mm-hmm. And so there's agreement that what we call the living level, like if you've come to my house, I don't invite you upstairs or downstairs. The living level, everyone agrees that that keeps picked up for my sake. That helps me to, you know, have life there. And then Dave and I have agreed on certain spaces that, like his dresser, I just don't touch it. He just lets it go, and that's okay. And so I appreciate the fact that what you're saying is relationship, you know, trumps.
Right.
That's really important.
I'm a naggy mom as it is, and if I got on the house every day, I mean, nobody in my house would ever get the best part of me.
Right.
And that's not fair. You know, I spend a lot of time with other people every day, and they get the best part of me. Mm-hmm. And when I go home, I don't want to be stressed about the house because my kids need the best part of me, too.
Yeah, that's good.
Is there something you can advise or maybe refer me to get a really well-organized, functioning kitchen? Is there a good place to put certain things towards your stove? And
yeah, I love kitchens. Love them. I'm doing one tomorrow, and I'm so excited.
So you could hire her.
You could hire me.
There's a rhyme or a reason to it.
I think there is. But everybody's different. But I tell everybody, think about how you use your kitchen. I've been in kitchens of clients, and they have the coffee pot over here on this counter, and the sink is here, and they have the filters up here, and the coffee cups are over here. That doesn't make sense. Put all your stuff together. Put like things together. If it's coffee, if you drink coffee every day, put your coffee pot close to the sink. Does it make sense to take the coffee pot from over here and walk over here and do your water and then walk back over here? I mean, talk about time management. It's 10 seconds, but it's 10 seconds. It's your 10 seconds. So keep light things together. Where your dishwasher is, put your cups and plates and things there. Where your silverware. Your silverware doesn't necessarily have to be in the kitchen. It would be nice to be in the kitchen for dishwasher purposes, but if you eat breakfast in the breakfast nook every day, put your silverware in there, or put your bowls in there, or, you know, wherever you use the stuff. Being organized isn't about having everything in its place and looking just perfect. It's being efficient and functional. You know, I have my trash bags in a bottom drawer next to the stove because my stove is here and my trash can is here. And so I keep the trash bags right there. I don't keep them across the kitchen under the sink or in the pantry because that's not functional for me. So do what's functional for you. There's not a rhyme or reason to every kitchen that's the same as your neighbor's kitchen. It's what works for you.
I have two questions. Okay. The first one is, I'm trying to get all my pictures, like pre-digital camera, organized. And I have, like, pretty much everything was in doubles. And I know I don't need to keep the doubles.
Right.
But it feels weird to throw out pictures. Would you... Partly just like what's going to happen, like who's going to get a hold of them somehow after I throw them out, like if someone would go through our trash, would you suggest shredding those, or do you think that that's not that
big
of a deal?
Are there names on the back of them?
No, probably not. It's not that big
of a deal. If you found a random picture in the trash, you wouldn't know who's it. I mean, you can if it makes you feel more safe.
I don't know. I don't know. It feels weird throwing pictures
out. Rip them up. You don't have to shred them. Just rip them up. Nobody's gonna. They're after your account information more than anything.
Yeah. Okay.
So I wouldn't worry about that. And I know it feels strange to throw out doubles of. I don't need them.
But
yeah, you don't need them, but. Once you get started, eventually you're just going to say, oh, that's a double. It's a double. It's not going to phase you. So just start and give yourself a little bit of time to get used to it, and then it'll happen.
Okay. Yep. My other question was, my neighbor has a hair salon, and she brings me over, now that I have a baby, she brings me over her parenting magazines and, like, her fitness magazines because she knows I'm trying to get in shape and stuff.
Me too.
And, like, once I read them, I see a lot of articles, maybe there might be, like, one or two pieces of information that I would like to hang on to, especially the baby stuff. Like, I might see something that's cool, but my daughter's not quite there yet.
Right.
But I don't want to keep the whole magazine around. Do you have some kind of suggestion for, like, hanging on to those and organizing how to keep that material organized?
Let me ask you, do you have any ideas?
Not really. I've thought about, like, some sort of notebook or folder, but, you know, it's different types of information, too.
Well, that's a good thought, though. That's what I would tell you.
Okay.
A binder or a file in your filing cabinet. My experience tells me that most people don't go back and look at that.
Okay.
I would be tempted to say don't waste your time.
Right.
But I also know that people get offended by that. So I'm not trying to offend anybody. But most people don't tear out magazine articles or pictures or recipes and go back to them. Because what we tend to do in this day and age is we remember something that we saw and we go online to try to find it. If you remember the magazine that it was in, they archive that stuff. You can probably find it online in the archives. So there's no need to keep it physically when you probably won't go back to it anyway.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I have several remedial questions. just everyone get comfortable and bear with me. My first question is, could you please explain zones again?
Zones. Do you want me to have specific?
I just didn't, you said so the kids' room, like, you sleep on this side and you dress on that side.
Okay,
I just don't have any other idea, like, do you mean, like, geographic, like, north? I don't have any.
If you're that good, you don't need me. Zones, I mean, let's take a garage, that's easier. In a garage, let's take my garage. There's the tool zone, there's the wood zone, there's the power tool zone, there's the lawnmower zone, there's the paint zone, there's the car zone. My husband works with wood. It's not my garage, by the way. I must say that. That's not my zone. It's his. No, we don't park in the garage. We can now because I spent 5 hours in there last week. But that's my husband's space. My space is the house because I couldn't take it anymore. That was one of my I can't take it days. Yeah, that was one of the days that I didn't just chill out. I had to.
Is the kitchen its own zone?
Is
a room a zone or are there always zones in rooms?
No, they're not always zones. In a room, no. But you don't have to think of it as zones. It could just be this is what goes in this area, this is what goes in this area. Usually in a bedroom, you've got your bed, your sleeping zone, and then you've got your dressers and closets and things. That's the dressing zone. In a kid's room, there could be a play zone. You know, this corner is where we play. it's not going to stay there. It's going to spread out. But when it's time to pick up, see, zoning is for cleanup. It's for ease of cleanup. Everything is for ease of cleanup. It's to make life easier. It's not, I don't want to come in here and say, you need to do this and this and this so that everybody stresses out and think they have to do it Kelly's way. No, it's to make life easier and more efficient. So however it works for you to think of your home in zones, the playroom. A lot of people have playrooms. This is where we watch movies. This is the video zone. This over here is where Daddy's treadmill is, and this is the workout zone. And over here is the reading zone. There's no TV, and there, you know, there we can play some soft music, but this is where, this is the library zone, or, you know, you can make it fun for them. And they understand that. That's how their classrooms are set up.
Okay.
Their classrooms are zoned off. And they understand that.
Okay. My next question is, how do you know how to label stuff, like what to label things? You and like, not just keep writing miscellaneous on all of them.
Yeah.
Because I've got a lot of miscellaneous areas. And I've also said, I'm going to save that for sculpture. Beginning when you said about saving something for sculptures.
Do you have one of those?
Anyway, just could you explain about labeling things, please?
Yes. I would say label things. She's asking about labeling things. Did you guys hear? Use your own terminology for labeling. If I call, like I just did a closet yesterday, and it's a linen closet, but we have all kinds of, it's a small apartment, so there are all kinds of personal hygiene items in there. Well, he has all kinds, like tons and tons of bottles of cologne and a bunch of boxes of toothpaste that, you know, are just extras and deodorants and things. Well, he wasn't there. I didn't know what to call them. So, but, you know, put all of his toothpaste and floss and mouthwash and all that stuff in a container, and I said mouth care. Because I don't, well, I can't, I'm not going to say that. I'm thinking something, but I don't want to say it. But he has cologne. I could have put cologne. I could have put smell good, I could have, you know, whatever, but I don't know what he thinks. So however you think of certain things, use your own terminology. I have a client who we labeled her files, and she has ADD. So dealing with anything that takes a long amount of time is very stressful for her. Dealing with insurance is very stressful, and takes a long time on the phone and things like that. Bank statements, you know, balancing the checkbook. All of that stuff, we didn't separate it because she has ADD. We need to compartmentalize everything in bigger chunks for her, because if we go detail, 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 whew, she's like, I'm not doing this. So we made a file for her, and we named it Scary Stuff. Because to her, it was scary to sit down and do this stuff. But once a month, she knew she had to take her scary file and deal with it. But that's how she thought of it. So whatever works for you, use it.
Okay. Thank you. I also had a comment. When you get a lot of printout papers, like our preschool sends, like, the weekly newsletter or whatever.
Right.
Just the thought, you can recycle them, but yeah. I also flip them over and use them if I'm going to print out a coupon or something.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then recycle whatever's left over. So there's just another reuse.
Right, and you can use it for coloring sheets for the kids. And, you know, they can bring them to church if they're sitting in church with you and draw or, you know, whatever.
But they're always downstairs in kids' connection, so you need them.
Exactly. Exactly. There are some services that,
This is, I don't know how, if you, well, I'll just ask it and you can, how do you figure out, how do you, what's an easy way to get a idea of what you want your house to look like? You said at the beginning, towards the beginning about figure out how you want things to work and what you want them to look like. And
right.
I mean, I've sat down and, I mean, I like going to other people's homes and, oh, I like that. Or, but looking at a magazine, like, talk about visually overstimulated is like,
yeah.
I wave the white flag. I just can't, you know, like those
well,
home magazines.
It sounds like you need more minimalistic things in your home. Yeah. I've been to her house. I've been to her house.
You should have seen it before.
No, your house is great. But I can see, I know what you're saying where you're having trouble finding your style.
Yeah, it's, I think style, but also just like, you know, like you said, like make the, you know, this is the reading zone for the kids. Like,
yeah.
Like how do you, like you just go there, you know, just go read there. I mean, how do you make, I guess how do you enforce the way you want things to work? If you're changing it, like how do you implement it?
Well,
how do you figure out what it is and how do you implement it?
Well, with kids, you have to make it fun. You know, you redid their bedroom and it was all fun and exciting and new. And when you change a space like that for them, but it has to be fun and exciting for you too, or you wouldn't be changing it. Right. So, it's like anything else. You really have to make it a habit, make it a system. You know, a system isn't a physical thing all the time. Make it a system. It's another habit that they have to start. But you have to guide them through that. And you have to do that with yourself. If you change something in your home, you have to make yourself do it because it's not comfortable when you change it in the beginning. That's not what you've always known. And so you have to really be mindful of what you're changing, why you're changing it, and that it's for the best, so you're going to do it. And then if it doesn't work, change it again. There's no rule that says you have to keep something the way it is just because it's been that way for 20 years.
Plus, I took the mic, so I think she had a few more. We really need to wrap
it's after
up.
Nine, girls.
Yeah, it's after nine.